Welcome to the Seven Hats Podcast. My name is Yuval Selig, and I've been on the entrepreneurial roller coaster for over 20 years. I've experienced it all throughout my journey: the grind, burnout, failure, and ultimately, success. The turning point for me was realizing that building a successful company is meaningless if you neglect the other significant areas of your life. So today, I'm inviting you to join me on an adventure through those seven areas, what I call the seven hats. Every week, my guests and I will drop valuable insights and pearls of wisdom, helping, motivating, and inspiring you to get your seven hats in order and deliver real impact with meaning. So let's get going. Hello, and welcome to your quick hit from The Seven Hats, a segment that I like to call The Daily Hat. This short segment is a preview, a snapshot of our full episode that's coming up this Thursday. It's here to give you a little bit of insight, spark of inspiration, and just a hint of curiosity about what our full episode has in store for you. Thank you so much for tuning in and for your continued support of The Seven Hats podcast. It really means so much to us. Now, let's dive into today's Daily Hat. Ready to get a taste of what we've got in store for you this week? Let's get started. I want to continue digging a little bit into the mindset of that buyer, founder, or brand relationship. So I think a lot of founders don't really appreciate the pressures that buyers face, right? When introducing a new brand to limited shelf space. This is not Amazon. You only have a certain amount of shelf space, which often involves kicking somebody out, right? When somebody else comes in. Can you describe that decision-making process and what tips do you have for founders who are looking to stay, even if they're potentially underperforming? And what is a game stopper for you having as a buyer to kick them out, no matter how much you love them as a brand?
The scope of the organization depends a lot on to answer that question, but I'll try and do the best I can with a couple examples. When you look at someplace like Jimbo's, for example, large store, high volume, their set sizes, they don't have to, aside from their ingredient standards and making sure the products fit and meet those standards, they have a lot more freedom to bring more products in just because of the size and scope of their business. Whereas you look at the Fresh Market, where I just finished up at 160 stores, 22 states. And so when you're making a decision to put something on the shelf, a lot smaller set sizes, store volumes vary from the I don't want to say A, B, C, D, whatever, just varying from a lower volume to a very high volume. You're making decisions there that are way more data-based, way more calculated with regards to what is the item performance for that space on the shelf and does it deserve it? So to answer your question, when I'm reviewing a product that, like, for example, like Jimbo's, I'm looking at how is it selling, perform against something else. Probably going to do everything in my power to help the brand succeed because of the small, intimate environment, four stores, yada, yada. And then also not really going to be concerned with overall velocity as much, provided that I'm not spoiling a lot of, if I'm throwing product out, that's all bets are off, if outside of extenuating circumstances. But someplace where we're doing the Fresh Market, doing a formal category review, and making decisions, the data speaks for itself. You're looking at the data in the market, what's performing, what isn't performing, the brand that you're looking at potentially dropping, how is it doing overall? So is it negligence or mismanagement with the brand and or you on this side? Or if it's down 20, 30% in the market everywhere, maybe there's a story there. So looking at things that way, as far as what advice I would give, I would say just to know your numbers. You should have full visibility into how your product's performing in the retailer that you're being evaluated at. And I wouldn't wait for the category review period to dive into that. It's probably too late at that point. In other words, if I put you on the shelf today, I'd want to see how I'm doing in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, so on monthly, and to stay on top of it so that if there is a problem, if we need to kick in an extra promotion or do something outside the norm to keep that volume up, I'm doing that proactively, not waiting for 9 months, 10 months when the review's coming up, the data's already there and it's not there. And so a decision has to be made.